It's amazing when the wolves are missing. It's like, wow, there's a big gap here. That's such a large family. I know others are out camping, enjoying the weather. So praise the Lord. Also glad to see those that are visiting this morning. God bless you. I trust every time we walk in this place, I trust that God is going to speak to our hearts and change our lives. And I hope that that's what you came here today, to have an encounter with Him. I hope that you're able to put aside my scratchy voice and the coughing and the sneezing and all that stuff. And just, you know what? It's not about any of us. It's all about Him. And so I trust that today each one of us will be touched and blessed. Father, I pray right now for an encounter with You. As we have lifted up Your name in praise and we have given You glory and worship, now, God, as we look at Your word, I pray that You will speak to our hearts and You'll change our lives. Lord, I don't want to be the same person when I leave as I was when I came in. I want to be closer to You. I want to know You more. I want to have a greater revelation, God, of who You are and who I am and what it is You want me to do. And so, Father, I pray a blessing over each one here today, that our encounter with You would not be one that is soon forgotten, but, Lord, it would be one that would inspire us to be even more like Jesus. It's in Your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 through... 20 through... Did I say 20 through? 22 through 23. Same verses that we touched on last week. And here it is again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, great gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now again, I posted it in such a way to emphasize a particular word. Last week we talked about self-control. Over the last couple of years we have been talking extensively about love. But today I believe the Lord wants us to focus on the word goodness. Again, the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is that what Jesus wants each and every one of us to display in our lives. We all know that if Jesus said that the branches that don't produce fruit get cut off and thrown away. Yesterday, as we were out here dealing with some dead branches, what do we do with all that dead stuff that wasn't growing any fruit? We got rid of it. And so we understand that we are the branches, and Jesus is the vine, and He wants us to bear fruit. Well, what is that fruit? Well, according to Galatians chapter 5, it is these things here: love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Do we have evidence of fruit in our lives? I hope so. And if not, okay, God, what have I got to do? How do I got to change? How can I be more like You in order that, or maybe how can I be more grafted into You? Me, the branch, and You, the vine, in order that I would be alive and have fruit. Well, again, today I want to talk about goodness. When I started speaking on this scripture a week or two ago, I wasn't planning on doing a series, but I think God wants me to do a series right through this verse. And today, goodness. The word goodness means this, means uprightness of heart and life, goodness and kindness. Goodness. Somebody who is good. How many know somebody who's good, right? Somebody who's good is somebody who is upright in heart. Somebody who means well. Somebody who does well. Somebody who is kind. Those are, we like to hang around good people, don't we? And certainly if you're a good person, then people like to hang around you. How many of us know people that aren't too good? Yeah. We don't want to be around people that aren't good. Why? Because usually they draw us into doing things that aren't good. I'm going to talk to that for a little bit too. But you know, someone who is good is someone who does things that are right and is kind toward others. It's someone who is one who demonstrates God's character on earth. Think about that for a moment. Somebody that is good is somebody that demonstrates God's character on earth. And I say God's character because even Jesus said, you know, when the rich man came and called him good master, he said, it's in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, he said, "Why do you call me good? Because there's no one good but God. The only good one is God the Father." I found that to be a very curious thing for Jesus to say, because certainly Jesus was good, but Jesus really, I think, was putting down the principle that the only way that we could possibly do anything good in life is if we're connected to God our Father. And therefore, someone that is good is someone that is demonstrating God's character on earth. And when I read verses like this, and when I think about this, and I meditate on things like this, again, I look at myself. Am I the person God wants me to be? Am I upright in heart? Am I kind? Am I someone who is bearing the fruit of goodness in my life, the fruit of the Spirit? The Bible tells us that if we would walk in the Spirit, that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, walking in goodness is part of that, walking in the Spirit. Now, unless you don't know anything about media and you live under a rock somewhere, most of us are pretty much aware that our world is in chaos. Tragedy that played out in France again. Uprising in Turkey. You know, just our own political realm here in the U.S., the racial divide, the division. Our world is in chaos. And it should come to no surprise for us, because it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and I read, you know, this passage again, maybe last week it was, but we should know, in the last days perilous times shall come. Have we seen perilous times? Yeah. Perilous times shall come. Well, guess what? Perilous times are here. It's very evident. And so now I want to turn our attention to 2 Peter chapter 3. I forgot to flip my slide there. Second Peter chapter 3 talks about God's promise not being slack. Beloved, I now write to you this, and I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. I really do like the King James, but I don't speak like that, so I don't want to read like that, and I don't want to teach like that. Thou and thee and the. I am so blessed that thou all hast come here today. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Anybody seen scoffers lately? Oh, yeah. Walking according to their own lusts, and saying Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What do you mean all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation? Would you remember from the beginning of the creation, the first brother, the first set of brothers, one kills the other one? Really? Of all the people on the earth, there's two of you. You can't get along? You and your brother? I'm sure there were more people on the earth at that time, brothers and sisters. However, the first two mentioned. And so it's just as it was at the beginning, just like it says. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As we watch all the chaos playing out around us, no matter whether it's in our very city, maybe even in our own homes, or whether it's around the world, keep this in mind, that God's promises are not, he is not slack concerning his promises. We have much to be grateful for and to hold on to. And it says, it continues, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I love that about God. He is not willing that any should perish. How many of us have children? We all have children. Well, not we all. Maybe we don't all have children. But we all understand, you know, if a mother and a father and children. Well, if you are a mother or a father and you have children, you are not willing that your children go to hell, are you? None of us are. We don't want our children to go to hell. And you know what? I believe that's a character that comes right straight from God, because it says right there, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so be praying for your children and for your neighbor's children and for all to come to repentance. Boy, do we need some repentance in this land today. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. You know, I am so glad that you are here in this church today, listening to this word, seeing exactly what it says, and I trust that maybe, hopefully you've already read these verses before. If not, go back and study them, because the day's going to come when Jesus shows up in the sky and he takes the church off of the earth. It's called the rapture, and that's another whole message. I don't need to get into that. And whether you want to believe it's before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation, I'm really not concerned about that at this point. But the idea is this. All of this stuff is true, and it's going to happen. And there are going to be people that are be standing on the earth saying, what happened? What is going on? But we are not going to be surprised. We know what we have to look forward to. And I'll continue. I'll finish with this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, or without spot or wrinkle. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. Do you understand that God wants you to understand? You know, Paul's even there talking about, you know what, the scriptures, there's a lot of things in there that's hard to understand. Well, where do you get wisdom from? You get it from God. If you need wisdom, if you're reading something, God, Lord, I don't understand what I'm reading in your word. Pray. Ask God to give you revelation. Ask God to give you understanding. Because even the Apostle Paul said, yeah, this stuff's hard to understand. You therefore, beloved, verse 17, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Right in the middle of that whole passage, and I know I don't need to read the Bible to you. You can read it for yourselves. I encourage you to read it for yourselves. I hope that you make it a daily practice. It's something that's common to you. But know what it says. Grow in wisdom and grace. In the middle of all this passage, there's this verse right here. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And you can see there that I highlighted the word manner. What manner of person ought we to be in the midst of all of this? We need to be good people. We need to be people that demonstrate the character of God on the earth. We need to be the kind of people who demonstrate and walk and have the fruit of the Spirit in us. And in that is goodness. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the strife and all the struggle, somebody needs to be a good person. And guess who is called to be that good person? You and I. You know, it may be in the workplace where you go. It may be in your family where you live. It may be who knows where? But somebody in the midst of all the stuff has to be the good person. Somebody has to be the one who is able to be calm, who is able to be respectful, who is able to be kind, who is able to say, you know what? Whatever goes on around me, I am not going to fall into the error of the wicked around me, but I'm going to be a good person. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Wow, I'm going fast today. We might get done early. Maybe. Don't get your hopes up. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read another long portion. And again, forgive me. I know you don't need me to read the Bible to you, but there's so much in here. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. What is that saying? Well, who's good? No one but God. And so we need to be imitators of God, just like Jesus was. You know what? When people come and come alongside of us, hopefully they would say something similar to what the rich man said to Jesus, said, hey, good master. Hopefully they would recognize, you know, not to puff ourselves up, but hopefully they would recognize that there's something godly in us, that we are people who want to imitate the goodness of God. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, that's a very interesting verse. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Well, how did he love us? By laying down his life, by sacrificing himself. How many of us are willing at times to sacrifice our day, even 5 minutes of it, to love somebody else? Because it's that kind of love that says it is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Somebody who's willing to love somebody sacrificially. But fornication, verse 3, and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor coarse jesting. And I know I've read this recently too, so but I want to bring out a point, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness. Hold on, where's my pen? Those of you who mark your Bibles and highlight in this and that. Verse 7 there. I want to underline the word with. Do not be partakers with them. That's important. Can't get my pen to work here. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What's that say? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so, and that's another verse, verse 9 there. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit being love and joy and peace and goodness and all of those things. And here, this is the other place in the Bible where it says this is what the fruit of the Spirit is. And it's very similar. Verse 9 there, the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Do you ever think about that? Do we ever really consciously think about, Lord, is what I'm doing acceptable to you? Are the places I'm going acceptable to you? Am I living my life in such a way that is acceptable to you? It's something that, you know, a lot of times, again, we just live life by default. And when we live life by default, we end up just going here or going there or doing this or doing that. And it's just like, okay, the day started, the day ended. And somewhere in between, we never even gave it a thought that, am I pleasing God today? So don't live by default. Live intentionally. Verse 10, again, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And verse 11, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 11, underline that because that's important where we're going today. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. All right, I'm going to stop there. I know you can continue to verse 21, but it's not necessary. Well, yeah, let's do that. Verse 15, then, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, or do not be drunk with wine in excess, it says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, again there, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And no matter in the midst of all the chaos and all this stuff, he is still worthy to be praised. I read all that, and I pointed out those two verses, verse 9 and verse 11, for a reason. Or I'm sorry, verse 7 and verse 11. 7-11. Hey, there you go. Should be able to remember that easy, you know. Anybody feel like getting a Slurpee? You never know what goes on in here. The littlest things spark the littlest things, and you just get to go off on a tangent. Verse 7 says, therefore do not be partakers with them. And verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out, and right in the middle of talking about goodness and being a good person, because a lot of times we read these verses, and I think we make a mistake when we say, you know what? There's a person who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and doesn't chew, and I'm not going to hang out with anyone who do. It goes something like that. And I know that we do get confused because there are times when I have said this myself. You know what? You are a product of your closest five friends. You are a product of them. And if you are hanging out with, you know, your closest five friends are not godly people, chances are you're going to be a not godly person. But, you know, looking at this verse again and looking at what these verses actually say, verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. It's not saying don't be in the room. It's not saying you can't go hang out. It's saying do not partake with them. If they're indulging in something that you know is a good person you shouldn't be indulging with, you need to be the light in the room. You need to be strong enough in your walk with God not to partake with them. But that doesn't mean that you can't still be friends with them. The same thing with verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's not saying don't have fellowship with people that are living in darkness. It's saying do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's a whole different meaning. You know, I think maybe part of the reason why our nation is so divided and so segregated is because we, the church, have taken ourselves out of the world and said, you know what? We're all high and mighty and holy over here, and we're not going to be anywhere where you guys are because you guys are doing stuff that we don't like. But instead, I think Jesus has called us to a different calling. I think he's called us to be a light to shine in that darkness. And we should be able to go someplace and be a place where other people are that maybe do not know God and still not partake of the unfruitful works of the darkness in that place. I'll give you a simple example. Yesterday I was invited to a company picnic. And I love the people that invited me to that picnic. They are good friends of mine. Soon as I walk up, one of them opens up a cooler. It's full of beer. Here you go. You want some? Now, this person has offered me many times through the years, and he knows I'm not going to take it. No, he was messing with me. He knows. Yeah. And you know what? I am so grateful that to be invited to that little get-together. And it wasn't, don't get me wrong, it wasn't like everybody was falling down drunk everywhere. It wasn't that, not at all. Everybody was having a good time, and it was just a thing. But you know what? I come in there to be a light, to love them, and to show them, hey, you know what? You can have a good time without having all those beers or whatever. But you know what, if I had said, well, yeah, I know there's going to be drinking there, so I'm not coming. You know how that would harm relationships? How that would harm any chance of me speaking anything good in somebody's life? And so what do? I show up there, and I'll just be a demonstration of God on the earth. And let goodness come forth. That's just a very simple example. And you know, and I'm not advocating, well, oh, now we can all go to the bar. Woohoo. And that's not what I'm saying. And you know what? If the Holy Spirit tells you to go and be a light in a bar, then you go be a light in that bar. Be careful. Do not be a partaker with them and do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness in that place, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in their house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've talked about this before. I like the idea that when certain people show up, other people say, "Wow, thank God you're here." They glorify God in heaven because of your good works. And we need to be that type of people who are willing to show up and you know what? Let's not hide the light in the four walls of our church. Let's take the light out into the world and let it shine. Let some good people show up in the midst of all the mess. Well, what if they persecute me? What if they kill you? Well, there's a verse that talks about that. Don't fear who can kill your body, but fear the one who can kill, who takes the body and the soul. I've been to certain meetings and I've gone, and I'm not going to name any names or put anything, but I've gone to some places where it's like, yeah, I'm not real comfortable here. I don't think I'm coming back. I think I need to go back there. If nothing else, just to be a light for God in the midst of all the chaos. To let the fruit of the Spirit be manifest through goodness in the world. And I realize I'm talking to a lot of good people. A lot of good people sitting here. I am so blessed as a pastor to have so many good people. But I want to encourage you, good people. Go let that shine. Go let that light shine. Let that fruit of the Spirit in your life, that goodness in you, let it go out there and shine amongst this dark and crazy world. I am going to get done early. I'm going to get done very early. You have something you want to share, sister? Or you're going to have to use the microphone to do it. Because we tape stuff. Come here and share something. I'll let you share something. Maybe that's why I'm getting done early, to give you an opportunity. By the way, y'all, this is Ashley. Ashley, this is y'all.
It just inspired me when you were saying that, you know, it's okay to be around them, but it's not okay to be partakers. And I was the one that, like, going to cookouts and things, and it could be with family and things like that, but if they were drinking, I just felt uncomfortable, and I'm like, I'm not going to be around them, thinking that me being around them will, give me that same image of, oh, yeah, you're a drinker too, or you're a smoker too. But when you were just saying that, I'm just thinking the only way where we can shine is out in the world. Like, there's no sense of us sitting here in the church shining with each other. You know, I'm blinding you, you blinding me, you know. We have to shine out there because that's the, you know, the unbelievers are the ones that need to see that light. Right now, they're blinded. Their scales over their eyes. They can't see. So as I go to the cookout soon, because I'm going to go now. As I go to the cookout, I'm going to step in there shining like a diamond.
Amen. Thank you, Ashley. Shining like a diamond. Hallelujah. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't still come here and shine on each other, okay? We still should do that. But she's right. If the only person that knows that you are a good person is the person you're sitting next to in church, then we're missing the whole point. all the years I worked construction, I worked alongside of people that foul mouth, all kinds of ungodly things go on. You know, I traveled weeks at a time. And some guys, when they get out there, it's ugly out there, let me tell you. But you know what? I think it's important for people who love Jesus Christ to be good, to shine that light. There's one more verse I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Overcome evil with good. You know, we get so offended by the evil that we don't even want to play the game. Well, how about we show up and maybe some of those that are evil get a little offended with your goodness? I'm okay with that. You know, the Pharisees, they're all upset. Well, that Jesus, he's hanging out with all those sinner people over there. How could he possibly be God or the Son of God? How could he possibly be somebody that's good? But you know what? He was. And so I want to encourage you today. Let the fruit of the Spirit come forth as you demonstrate the character of God on the earth through your goodness. And let's not get all caught up with all the chaos and all the mess, because if we get caught up in the chaos and the mess, we'll be depressed. We'll be discouraged. We'll be like, what's the point? I might as well just be just like them, because there's nothing. No. Don't be partakers with them. But that's not saying don't be with them. We need to shine a light. I'm wondering if that's the reason why, Mike's here this morning. I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons why one of my favorite things to do is go out to that jail and minister. Because I'm putting myself right in the midst of a lot of darkness and just letting that light shine. Don't be afraid of the darkness, because the light that is inside you is greater than that darkness. Amen? So don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Stand with me this morning and we'll pray. I hope some more of you all are inspired as Ashley was inspired. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's going on, I can still be the good person. I can be the good person God has called me to be. And so can you. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would so fill us, Lord, that we would be eager to demonstrate your goodness in this world. I pray, God, that as we go out into this world and the good things that come out of us would cause other people to glorify you. Jesus was all about glorifying you, Jesus, and that's God, and that's what we want to do. We want to glorify you. And so, Father, I pray for each one here today, Lord, that we would take the light that's inside of us and take it out from under the cover and let it shine brightly. Lord, give us the strength, even if we're in the midst of evil, not to be overcome by it, but to overcome the evil with good. Lord, that we would be those who would be able to walk into any circumstance, any crowd of people, and be able to lift up your name and stay true to the goodness that you have put inside of us. I ask today, God, that you'll help us to look at our own lives, to make sure that we are walking in the Spirit, and to make sure, God, that we have your goodness flowing through our veins as Jesus did. Lord, I thank you for removing our sins and giving us new life and giving us the ability to be just like you. And so today I just pray this blessing over each one here, that the goodness of God would help us in every life circumstance, and that we would go forth with a praise for you that will never be quieted. Bless each one today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for coming. If you struggle with anything, something that Jesus alone can fix, and I encourage you to come to this altar and we'll pray for you. Other than that, have a blessed afternoon. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy God. Enjoy each other. And go let that light shine. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming.